Arr, matey! This be Ghostly Tom.
Arr, I am Scott-El.
And I'm Doug.
Arr, we're going to sail on the seven seas today.
Sail in the seven seas.
God, let's please stop
with
that.
Me
right
rabbit? No, what are those things?
What?
What are those things they carry on their shoulders? Bird!
With my parrot, bird! Parrot, me bird! Parrot, my parrot, parrot!
Me parrot!
Me parrot!
Ha. This is Ghostly Talk. It's 7 p.m. again Eastern Time on a Sunday.
Yes.
So we are here to invade the internet.
And we have to quit playing with the CDs before the show. Oh. Turns us into a bunch of animals.
It was fun.
Live.
Well, Phobos says hi to Will, Scott, Doug, and Big Bird.
Oh.
So, yeah.
How you guys doing? I'm Big Bird.
I'm Big Bird.
How was Big Bird's voice?
I have no idea.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm Big Bird.
You sound like, oh, maybe not like Big Bird. Let's just say that.
Who?
I don't know, but not Big Bird. How does Big Bird sound?
How does Big Bird sound?
Hey, gay.
That's not like Cartman. Yeah.
Hey, gay! Hey, gay!
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
This is Ghostly Talk. We're live on Pioneer from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Uh-huh.
That's midnight in England. Yeah. I didn't know we were on at the bewitching hour in England until I just happened to look at the schedule.
I imagine.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Well, they have a great schedule up on the website where you can go there and find out whatever region you're at in this in the world.
Yeah, pretty much. It gives you like all kinds of different times. So take a look at pioneer.rolo.net for the schedule. And Ghostly Talk is replayed, of course, on Pioneer. We're replayed on
KSSX.com, Moist FM,
mm-hmm.
and probably slews of other people that are stealing our shows. So we let people do that because it's a free show, so
yep.
we don't really care.
Yep. Open content license, et cetera, et cetera.
Three words. Open content license.
Exactly. We're a bit giddy because
it's cold out.
Yeah, it's cold out.
It's warm in here,
and we have no show.
And we just ate. We just ate pizza.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you? Let me make up all the excuses before we say that.
Okay.
We have a show.
I want to talk about
stuff.
A lot of things.
A lot of good stuff to talk about.
A lot of good stuff to talk about, but it's all loosely coupled as
well. It's an open structure.
It's an open structure tonight.
Yeah. It's an informal structure. We sat down with the board of directors and told me we wanted to go for an informal structure this week, and they agreed. So Corbin was cool with that.
So here we are.
Yeah, open lines today, though, if you want to call in.
Yep.
If you got something stupid to say or want to make fun of us, feel free. Or if you actually have something paranormally related, that'd be great, too.
Yes, the toll-free line, of course, is 1-888-520-1969.
Exactly. There are a few administrative things we should get out of the way.
Okay.
And you were going to talk about them, right, Doug?
What was I going to say? I was going to say, there was actually a couple things I wanted to say.
Okay.
Really, really badly.
Ooh.
Well, I don't want to say them badly. I just really badly want to say them. I don't know. Anyway.
You're very excited about saying them.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Will, you're fired.
You can't fire yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, and you can't put words
you
into my mouth.
You can break service, though.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing that kind of service.
Oh. Then you're fired!
Well, there you go.
God.
We just lost 12. Now.
I'm trying to get the booty from this guy for 2 years now. It's not happening.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
I was looking on different things. Because, you know, I like am on ghostlytalk.com. That's our website.
We live there.
Every so often.
Once or twice.
All the time. And what happens is I installed, you know, cool stuff every so often and things like that. One of the things that's really, really important is the RSS feeds. Those are the way that people can share headlines between, you know, different websites.
Yeah.
So what happens is I know that there's a lot of people in the paranormal industry or the paranormal world or the paranormal...
Some people, it's an industry. Some people, it's just a...
Hobby. It's a
community.
Hobby for us. It's a community.
A
in the paranormal community with websites of their own. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, several in our links section, our web links section, though I want to redo that.
Yeah.
Because of the little bombs that we talked about last time.
We got to get rid of the bombs, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I just heard that because I had got the first half hour of last week's show.
Yeah, we were going to have up on Monday.
Yeah, I pulled that down from tape.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sounds good though,
so, and it's going up on it's already up on the server. You just
We're gonna have it fixed tonight.
Link it in. Yeah. So anyway, what happens is these RSS feeds allow us to share stories because you can in this kind of software you can post stories onto the homepage.
Yeah,
and it lets you share them. So what happens is, for example, I pulled when W Paranormal. The radio show at midnight on Pioneer, when they redid their site, they did it in a kind of software that has this RSS feed stuff built in.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I pulled their headlines. They have two of them so far, but you know, hey, they have headlines.
Let's
you know,
them. Let's get them.
Pulled them from their site, and it all happens automatically. So if they post up a new thing on their website,
yeah,
it will just show up on the Ghostly Talk site.
Okay.
Same thing. They reciprocated with the same thing from Ghostly Talk. Mm-hmm. So if you go to either site, W
yeah.
Paranormal or Ghostly Talk,
yeah,
both.com, then you'll see the headlines from the other site,
mm-hmm,
which is super duper powerful. And I want to impress on everybody who's got these kinds of interesting websites that have these capabilities.
We can all share now.
This is very, very important for the paranormal world because it gives you a lot of eyes, because if people don't happen to hit your site that day, but they hit another one, they'll see if you've posted a new article, that
mm-hmm
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you hit more eyes, it gives you exposure that way.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it does make a community kind of thing happen,
mm-hmm,
where you can go to a specific site and say they've got four or five of the sites that you normally check.
Yeah.
Well, you just see them. They're all right there.
That's good.
And then you can see if you want to go visit that site. So I think it's a very important thing. It's very important to share that kind of stuff. And I want, you know, other paranormal webmasters to consider putting that kind of stuff into their website.
And if you need technical help, feel free to email Doug.
Yeah, because I know absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Doug at ghostlytalk.com. There you go.
The only thing I know
about email for the rest of the week now, Doug. You're busy.
Yeah, what I know about it is that you just like plug it in and make a block, and there you go.
Yes, who's in the chat room?
Who's in the chat room?
Jeff Banky.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Jeff
yes.
Banky is in our chat, is in the Pioneer Radio
He's
chat room
right
now.
Yep.
Oh, this totally rocks.
No kidding.
That totally rocks. Jeff, in case somebody is not, you know, paying attention,
mm-hmm,
if somebody has absolutely no clue, which I cannot believe anybody on the planet doesn't know,
no,
this.
No kidding.
Jeff Banky is the senior editor, owner, whatever. He's like the head honcho of ParanormalNews.com.
So we have royalty in the house.
Yes. He is probably the busiest person I know next to Scott Ellen myself. I mean, there's like, you know, Jeff Banky's like the busiest.
Yeah.
And then there's Scott Ellen me.
Mm.
and we
share those duties.
Yes, we try to anyway.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's amazing. That's totally awesome.
Hi, Jeff.
In case you're wondering about our chat room, go to www.ghostlytalk.com or pioneer.rollo.net, and there's a whole bunch of people in the chat room. I know Scott K from
StagehandTools.com.
Yes, StagehandTools.com. He's in there.
I wonder if we worked off that theme song yet, as far as advertising goes.
Well, do you know what? Actually, on they had a treat, a special treat on W Paranormal.
Uh huh.
Last week, they actually took the theme song.
Like last 10 minutes, I was so busy.
They took this was like in the middle of the show. They had taken the theme song and they chopped it up. The Ghostly Talk theme song.
Okay.
That was done by Scott Kay of StagehandTools.com.
Uh-huh.
They chopped it up and they like wherever he would sing or say Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
They took it out and said W Paranormal. And it was the funniest thing I think I've heard in a long, long,
hey,
long time.
Hey, I need a copy of that.
I was absolutely rolling on the floor.
I need
it
a
was
copy of
so
that.
Awesome. It was hilarious.
Send me that.
Okay.
Guys,
yeah,
I know. I hope the W Paranormal guys are listening. Rob, Bob, send me that, please. I want to hear that. Because I missed the majority of the show last week.
Well, they also have their archives, so you can pull it down. Mm-hmm.
See, well, there you go thinking again, dude. Stop that.
Just go right in the middle of the show, because it's right in the middle of their middle break. So it was pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yes.
I'm going to check that out.
Now, I also wanted to talk about, what I want to talk about is related to the news,
ooh,
related to the news on our site anyway. Did you happen to read that Nostradamus article I posted?
Yes, I did.
And I've been wanting to talk about that for a while.
Well, let's talk about it.
Because it's been on my mind.
Seeing that we don't have a damn thing to talk about.
Really.
That'd be good to talk about, Doug.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
First of all, what do you think of prophecy?
What do I think of it in general?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depends on who's telling me the prophecy.
Yeah. Do you, like, what
well,
is...
if you told me a prophecy, Doug, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to
yeah,
think about
yeah,
this.
Right.
But if, like, George Bush told me a prophecy, I would have a different outlook on that.
Well, what's interesting about that, for example, is George Washington, the first president of the United States.
Yes.
He actually, I believe it was George Washington. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He wrote a missive, a series of prophecies
mm-hmm
for the United States.
Okay.
So he actually prophesied some things. Now, I don't have a copy, I understand it's on the web somewhere. If someone can dig it up.
Yeah, if someone can dig it up, call in with it.
Call in or put the link on into the chat room.
Yeah.
But what happens is these prophecies, from what I understand, they're kind of, you know, lame. But at the same time, it's interesting that somebody like George Washington, a general, you know, in the Revolutionary Army, and then first president of the United States, engaged in such an interesting activity.
And also a Mason, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then he had help. He had books. He had training.
And I don't want to get too deep into that, but if you study the Masonic culture and the Masonic practice, there's a lot of
mysticism.
Spiritual study going on. I mean, it's all theoretical. It's all conspiracy theory, a lot of it. But there's a lot going on with that. He was a full-blown Mason, too. 33, I think he was a 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah.
So he...
was there anybody who wasn't, though?
Oh, there was a...
Okay,
there's a lot.
Every single time I hear about Masons, and I'm not one.
Yeah.
So I don't know these things.
My grandfather was one.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's a real old, mean dude.
But what happens is whenever I hear them, they're all, 33rd degree Mason.
Most of them don't make it past the Blue Lodge, which is like the first degree.
Ah.
Honestly, that's like 95%. I'd say it'd be about 85% from what I've read.
What is it like? Do you have to take tests, or is it a money thing?
How does it work? I don't know that much about it, honestly, because a lot of the stuff, I would really have to go to the Masonic Temple. My grandfather's Masonic Temple, and I don't know if they'd be real happy about me going to their books.
Hi!
Now, when I was a child running around there, I didn't know any better, but now that I'm older, I want to go there and, like...
They're probably a little more protective, because you have...
And I'm bigger than most of those guys are, too, so, you know, it's like, I don't think we want to let him into the building anymore. It's basically a series of rites and rituals that you have to go through. And there are certain knowledge you have to gain to get to the next degree.
Okay.
But I don't know that much, honestly. I know mainly...
What's the top? Is the top like 66 or
Well, no, actually, there's a gentleman... his name totally loses me now. I have a video at home that was given to me by my resident conspiracy theorist guy at work, who he gave me this video of this gentleman who... Basically, his goal is to expose the whole Masonic Order and what it's all about.
Okay.
And what he says is that he made it past the 33rd degree.
So there is something beyond.
Yeah, I think he said 99th degree.
Oh, wow.
Which is like top of the line.
Sounds like a big jump.
That's like the inside 5% that you don't know about.
Oh, okay.
And he talked about from handshakes, from things that you have to say. For example, if you walk into a jewelry store and you want to get a deal on, you know, a piece of jewelry or whatnot, you'd walk in there and you'd see, if you saw the guy's ring... Most 33rd degree Masons they wear their ring.
Right.
They'd have to say just a certain tagline, and that would alert the other one. Oh, hey, you know.
Yeah. Now, the cat is in the bag.
Which is funny,
like
though,
that.
Is like
yeah.
My grandfather, I love him to death. I love my grandfather so much. He's probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met. You've actually got to meet him, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's a pretty crazy old man, but he's cool, and he's with it, and he's a wild guy. But my grandpa, notoriously, my whole life, I've had to hear the same line. For example... Yeah, I went and got a new exhaust put on my car, Grandpa.
How much you pay?
$70.
God damn it, son! I could have had that done for you for $30 down the street, afraid down the street, Mason. He's a goddamn Mason. He's part of the lodge. He can take care of it for you. Been $30.
Oh, man.
That's what I've been having to hear my whole life. I haven't gotten a deal on anything, according to my grandfather. I've wasted so much money, I could be a rich man right now, according to my grandfather. Problem is, what I found in all of my dealings with friends... So to say, when you're dealing with a friend, they're not going to put you on the top of the list to get that job done and get business taken care of. You're a friend, so you're going to be a lot more understanding.
Right.
You're a brother in the Masonic Order, so you're going to be a lot more understanding.
Right. If your brother doesn't get it done till Tuesday.
Yeah, as opposed to someone you don't know from, you know, anybody goes in and I want this job done yesterday and I'm paying you this money.
Yeah, with $70.
I'd rather go to somebody and spend a couple extra bucks and... Get it done when I need it, so to say.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a lot of the workings with that. And George Washington himself was a Mason, too.
Well, he also made some prophecies, and I thought that was kind of interesting. I was shown them. I mean, a friend of mine at work showed me, you know, here I printed them out, you know, and I looked briefly through them, but I didn't. It was this whole big, you know, statement, and it was huge. And
wow.
I'm like, well, I'm not going to go through it like with a fine-tooth comb yet. But, you know, prophecy, I think, is kind of important. And Nostradamus himself was like he practiced medicine, you know, way back in the day.
1600s. No, am I
wrong? No, I thought he was like 600. But 600,
yeah.
I don't know. It might be 1600 or 1500.
My main problem, going back to your question, my main problem with prophecies, mainly, especially Nostradamus, because he is, you know, he is the king of the whole,
well, yeah,
the whole genre.
One of
the
most well-known, the
whole
definitely.
System of thought, yeah.
Yes.
Is that there's, there? How do I say this? So much time goes into interpretation.
Well, yeah, especially the Nostradamus ones, because they were written in code.
Yeah, I could actually compare this to the Great Pyramid, for example. There's people out there that literally will take and work math into the pyramid. They'll take their common beliefs, like what they think is correct, and work that fact into the fabric of the pyramid itself. For example, mathematics.
Right.
Working geometry into the pyramid. People in this day and age, and I've seen it on TV, I've seen it, I've read books about it, I've read articles about people, literal conferences of people with nothing, all they're doing is sitting there arguing about interpretations of Nostradamus' prophecies. Well, it means this. Well, it means that. And then, well, when something already happens, now it's after the fact.
Right.
Well, this
yeah.
is what it meant. This, see, I told you, you see?
Yeah,
you didn't say that last week. You were talking about something totally different.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, prophecy is very, very, very interesting. I mean, I read about it. I'll read about it any day to tell you the truth. But that's the main problem I have with it is people that study this stuff, I don't know what they're trying to get out of it, really. It's just, are they trying to be future seers, or are they just trying to work their own beliefs into the prophecy itself to say,
well,
hey, I was right.
Well, to an extent, I think the second. I think they want to work their own beliefs into it, or find out what Nostradamus was thinking when he wrote this stuff.
Yeah,
or
and
any
that's what you're trying to find out, though.
Right.
It's like, yeah, this is what he was thinking. But the problem I have, too, is if he knew so much and he saw so much, why did he have to write in riddles?
From what I understand, it was
all
political.
It was jargon
political.
Back then. It was how it was. Yeah, it was all political.
Yeah.
Which I can understand that, too. I mean, if you're...
Well, back then, everything was church-state.
Well, even to this day,
people.
If I was to come out there and say, hey, I know everything that's going to happen down the road, and I'm going to write it down for all of you in plain English, I'm going to post it up on a website, and you'll know everything that's going to happen. And this is fact. Let's just say, for example, that I had some way of proving that I could see the future. And
okay.
Here are my prophecies. You know what's going to happen to me.
You'd be killed.
You'd never see me again,
yeah.
Doug. And you'd be crying your little eyes out because you'd
yep.
never see me again.
Like, I lost a co-host and a friend.
But,
you know.
So I can understand that. I mean, let's jot this down in some type of cryptic code that only a few people understand.
Right. Or we'll be able to understand. Yeah.
Someday down the road. That could be a very important factor. But that's what I see a lot of people doing nowadays, it seems like, is they're trying to instill their beliefs into it, what they think should happen, into the prophecy. And when something does happen, they find a loosely correlated object or idea that has something to do with it,
mm-hmm.
and go, see, I was right.
He said that. Yeah. Well, that is a huge problem with the Nostradamus prophecies.
Yes.
In that, you know, what they do is they take these quatrains, because they're written in quatrains,
mm-hmm.
and they interpret them after the fact into pretty much so that a quatrain could mean almost anything.
Exactly.
Which is kind of horrible, you know. But it does happen, and it will happen. They've even made up quatrains. Remember when 9/11 happened?
Oh, God, yes.
And then that Nostradamus email just went everywhere throughout the entire internet. You know, he predicted it to, you know, two brothers standing tall or something,
yeah,
blah, blah,
okay,
blah.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was false. It was not a real Nostradamus quatrain.
No.
Somebody had written the quatrain after
that's
the fact.
That's just scare tactics.
Yeah.
Freak people out.
Well, they did that in World War II, didn't they? Or World War I? When was the Germany one? That was
World War
II. II?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a history buff.
I get these
don't worry.
But they they did that. You know, the Germans did that. They
mm-hmm.
they would write the, you know, false quatrains and then spread them in leaflets. They would drop them all over England
mm-hmm.
when they were bombing England. So,
yeah,
interesting reading there. I imagine if you actually had one of those leaflets,
mm-hmm.
you could probably sell it on eBay.
Easy.
You know, one of those actual German-produced propaganda,
well, that makes me laugh,
Nostradamus-related leaflets.
Yeah, it's very funny that they do that. Even the Germans did that, and I know the Americans do that.
There's propaganda everywhere.
We've heard about them doing that already in Iraq, where, okay, here comes a bomb, boom, and then here comes a leaflet.
Yeah.
Who the hell's going to read? You just blew up the guy's house. But Here, you have no choice but to surrender. This is the reason you should surrender, bullet point. You will be much happier under a democratic system of government.
Yeah,
bullet
point? If the bomb did not kill you...
Yeah, if the bomb did not kill you or blow the eyes out of your head...
You will be much happier.
Yeah, exactly.
Or flash blind you.
So we're dropping leaflets all over the country.
Yeah.
Which the taxpayers in this country had to spend money on that also.
Yeah. Did they get those done at OfficeMax?
Hey, Will?
He's not listening.
Did they do those at OfficeMax?
Did they do those propaganda leaflets?
Did you have like a huge like job to go out
for
the U.S. government?
I have not had one while I've worked for OfficeMax.
Okay.
Was it in the order for like G. Bush Jr.?
Yeah.
I have had some pretty weird stuff when I worked for the previous company.
Yes, yeah. We know about that.
I did some pretty weird jobs.
Oh, I know. Dude, that... Oh, we shouldn't talk about that.
No.
Because that was hot. That was just beyond hot. That disc is like put in the archives permanently forever.
You still have
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. I'm never getting rid of that.
My God.
My old roommate said, he's like, hey, what do you got here, Scott?
He's like, I'm changing careers. Yeah.
Inside joke, sorry.
But yeah, these propaganda leaflets, you know, with those did not contain false Nostradamus prophecies.
No.
But there was definitely a huge surge in you know, interest
mm-hmm.
in prophecy when
oh, yeah.
that action happened mm-hmm. on 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
So there was this huge thing, like, was it predicted? And of course some people came through and said, yeah, I predicted it, you know, well, where's your proof?
It's very easy, and that's where we've talked about this before on this show. It's very easy for someone to come out of the woodwork after something so catastrophic such as 9/11 happens and claim that they knew it was going to happen, but the government sees them. And granted, in the state of mind that I'm in as of late, I don't mind them saying that, and I might believe them to a certain degree, but God, if it was that important, you could have gotten to somebody.
Right. Well, see, that's one of the reasons I even wrote that article. Because I put it together. I nobody like said, oh, hey, you know, look at this. You know, Nostradamus' quatrain, what, V98 or something like that? Or V20? That would be Century 5, quatrain number, is it 20? I have to look on my own Ghostly Talk site because I just copy-pasted it. But anyway.
That's the way to knowledge now, copy and paste.
Copy-paste. So what happens is I had read that in that book, Nostradamus 1985 and Beyond or something by Erica Cheatham. Mm-hmm. And I had read it a long time ago, and I reread sometimes the interesting books.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that I have reread. And so it was in my mind anyway. 9/11 happened, all the Nostradamus stuff happened where, you know, the email, the false thing and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through and I found the book and I'm looking through it and I reread it again. So it was all in my head, and I'm thinking, at the time I was thinking, this one that she doesn't really say much about, and it's the one that I posted on the website, this quatrain she doesn't say much about,
mm-hmm.
about false dust in Greece, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you know, I knew that Greece in 2004 was going to be when the Summer Olympics were,
mm-hmm.
you know, where and when. It'd be 2004, Athens, Greece.
Okay.
That's when the Summer Olympics are.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's you know, that's like fact. They mm-hmm. chose it years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, it's happening, and I run across that quatrain. Well, I did draw the parallel at that time. I did draw the parallel, and I thought, oh, no. You know, I wonder if this might be a warning.
False dust in Greece.
False dust, Greece. And of course, the false dust, what they're talking about there is in Erica's, I talk about her like I know her, yeah.
We were down at the coffee shop the other day, me and Erica were talking about it.
Well, she had said something about, you know, it could be fallout, nuclear fallout. Because, she wrote this in 1985 or previous to that.
Yeah, well, in 1985, also, there was a big nuclear scare going on, too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and what, Cold War and all that stuff. But,
so
what happens is on everybody's mind at that time was nuclear fallout. And, of course, that still is an unfortunate possibility.
Of late, yeah.
Yeah, it's still a possibility, but there's even more possibilities, and that's what I was saying in the article, even more possibilities now with anthrax, Doesn't that look like just some
chemical warfare, if you ask me? Yeah.
Biological
warfare is 10 times as scary as a nuclear fallout, if you ask me.
Oh, I think so, too.
Because, I mean, we're talking about microns. We're talking about cells now. We're talking about real science here, okay? A nuclear bomb can hit and it can cover a lot of land.
And it'll make everything radioactive for so long.
Yeah,
and
they can only go, but they can only expand out so far, though.
Right.
Whereas a biological warfare, it just takes one person.
Look at SARS.
God, yes.
Well, first of all, SARS, you know, it started, what, in China or something like that?
In China.
Personally, I mean, if you want to get really, really incredibly... And I'm not... Oh, my gosh. I am so not a conspiracy theorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am, like, the anti-conspiracy theorist. I just don't... I mean, I believe a lot of them, but I don't, you know, think them up myself. But I happen to think that SARS was a biological warfare thing gone wrong.
I think a lot
in
of
China.
They've been saying that for years concerning the AIDS virus. I mean,
right, they've been saying that about AIDS.
And then it was from the green monkey. That's what I learned in junior high.
Yeah.
That AIDS was contracted from the green, or contracted from the green monkey. You know, and
like
it was a
smart monkey.
And, you know, that was the whole joke. They had sex with the monkey.
Yeah, right. That was the joke.
That,
in junior
that
high,
wasn't the case at all, though. But there's a theory that's been going around for years that AIDS is another. It's another piece of
population control. Yeah,
population control.
Well,
exactly.
With SARS, similar. I mean, I really think that something this powerful. Because they're like, oh, is it a mutated? You know what? Smallpox? Is it a mutated cold germ?
Uh-huh.
Is it a mutated? And so they're going around trying to identify this thing and then cure it or at least vaccinate against it. And I really have a feeling that somewhere in some lab in China or somewhere in the Orient or somewhere maybe not even there, it could have been somewhere else and then transported there.
Yeah.
They made this thing, this SARS, mm-hmm. and it got out. I just really don't think that it, oh, you know, here in this little dewdrop on a leaf somewhere in China, you know, it just mutated and became SARS, and then somebody ate that leaf because they eat vegetables and got it, and then, you know, I just have a really hard time believing that it just happened.
Well, here's another thing for you to look at, too. And you're going to probably kick me off the show completely after I say this. But have you ever thought that maybe these weird viruses, aside from biological warfare, chemical
mm-hmm.
warfare, have you maybe thought that there could be businesses involved with this too?
Oh, definitely.
Now, we're thinking, how much does it cost just for any type of HIV vaccine, just to take the pain away, or try to slow it down to a certain degree.
Oh, I see where you're getting at.
Slow it down to a certain degree, so you mm-hmm. live a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very scary fact. Not a fact, but it's a very scary theory.
It's a scary theory. It's one that I don't subscribe to myself.
I don't entirely subscribe to it myself, but it's something to think about, too.
Because it's the same thing as, like, the Norton antivirus for a computer.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
For a time there, they were saying, well, who has the most to gain when a virus is released for the computers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's spreading throughout the internet, or I mean, in early days it spread throughout floppy disks,
yeah.
you know, and then email, and now, you know, now it's like just happens. I don't know. You don't even have to log on and you get
that's
them.
That's the question, though. Who has to gain from it?
Who has to gain from it? And of course, you know, Norton, McAfee, Dr. Solomon, who's now part of McAfee,
mm-hmm.
the FPROT folks. I mean, all these folks have things to gain because then they'll sell more of their software product, which is an antivirus product.
Same exact thing.
So, you know, so there was a theory, a conspiracy theory, that maybe the, you know, antivirus labs were coming up with viruses and spreading them. Well, they, of course, I really, honestly, at the time, did not believe it because
mm-hmm.
I was reading these antivirus news groups at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, these are computer stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading them, and everybody in there was just so serious.
Yeah,
they were very serious people. They were very into antivirus. I just can't imagine them or anyone like them. Oh, okay, them or anyone like them. Creating these things, and I really do subscribe to the the thing that, okay, some kid in the basement with an antivirus kit, you know, or a kit, and they're just, you know, mutating these viruses. That's what I really think about computer viruses.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't necessarily, I also think that very similarly about these, you know, human viruses.
But there's something to think about, too. There's always three steps to something like this that I've noticed, that I've seen. You have an event. Let's say 9/11, for example. You,
mm-hmm.
You have a catastrophic event.
Yep.
You have the people's reaction to this catastrophic event. And then you have to have a resolution to this.
Right.
Whether it be the people resolve the problem or an outside source resolves the problem for the people,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a resolution some way. If you look at all these little situations such as the SARS scare,
right.
9/11,
right.
or the war in Iraq, or the war on terrorism, okay?
Yeah.
There's always going to be... 9/11 led to the war on terrorism, for example. We had a catastrophic event, and then everybody in the country shit their pants, literally, going, oh my God, we're all going to die! And then George Bush steps in and goes, well, we're going to
do something about it.
We're going to, think if I correctly, we're going to have a crusade.
Yeah.
Which was stupid to say, you moron, but...
Yeah, maybe he didn't read up on the crusades or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the outside source stepping in to the reaction from the people. And
right.
the same thing would go for something like that. We have a virus on the internet. Melissa's come through to destroy all of our computers. And we're all going to die and lose it. All the porn we've downloaded is going to all be gone. We're all going to lose all of our porn, right? And, okay, we step in. We're Norton. Hey, we got a pro. We can solve this problem. This is our job. We can take care of this for you. No problem. Just buy our software,
yep.
and we'll take good care of you. It's something to think about, actually. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, sit here and go, everybody's lying to you. But these are things that I like to think about, though, too.
Well,
like,
I think
everyday living, God, you know?
You remember that guy who, like, I forget his name now, but he, like, cured cancer, and the government threw him in jail for life?
Oh, yeah, they did that to a lady, too.
Every time someone makes this cure for cancer, they throw him in jail. Because it would crush the pharmaceutical company.
That's
right.
The big thing to think about. That's,
yeah.
that's the point I'm making right there.
Well, that's same thing happens in free energy.
Mm-hmm.
Free energy, that somebody comes up with a flywheel that, you know, goes for much, much longer on inertia.
I just read an article that they said they are creating, they're building, they're getting ready to put them into production, a car, an ion running car. A car that runs on hydrogen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fuel cell technology.
Okay, but who's their target market going to be first? I read China.
Oh, really?
How many people are in China, first of all?
All of them.
They have the densest population on the planet. Okay?
Lots of them. Isn't it China, India, second? Yeah.
Per car, like per person per car, I believe the ratio is like 20 to 1.
Oh.
I know about people per car.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Why would you do that? Where in the States?
It's like 2 to 1, yeah. Everybody has two cars.
Well, the thing is, they put it over in China, it's not going to sell well, and they're going to scrap it.
And then we could use it here. It'd be real nice. Motor City. We live in the Motor City here in Detroit. It'd be very nice to come out of my house one morning and go... instead of going... that's what we live in here.
Let's go to break.
Yes.
And start a fan running.
Yeah, things to think about.
We're going to talk a little bit more about prophecy. We'll talk more about... conspiracy.
And sex, like we do every week.
Yeah, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Sex, yes.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
We'll be right back.
You heard of the Internet's newest Ghost Talk radio show? Visit us on the web at www.floridaghosthunters.com. Our show airs live on Sunday evenings between 9 and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us if you dare.
Ghostly Talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens, for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Christ talking about this kind of stuff.
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. Christ trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug. Hi!
Hi!
I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And this is Ghostly Talk. We're live on what, Pioneer Radio?
What day is that? Yeah, Sunday.
Sundays from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m.
Yes.
So Eastern time. So if you're not, if you're listening to this at any other time,
don't call in or
don't call in because it's a replay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's our disclaimer for the evening.
Yes, yeah, so we're talking about prophecies, and for some reason we talked about SARS, and
I was just saying upstairs as we were yelling at each other. I'm like, my scatterbrain is just it's coming through today for some reason. I got a million things on my mind, so I'm very sorry about that. But hey, you know, it all ties in. And you know what? You know what?
What?
We have a celebrity on the phone.
Yes, we do have a celebrity on the phone.
Celebrity on the phone, and he's giggling in the background. Shut up!
We're trying to introduce you.
We're trying to introduce you here. This is a professional show.
We actually...
I'll be very, very serious.
We actually have the one and only Phobo.
Yeah.
On the telephone.
Hey.
Live from England.
Live.
Yes, and he's on the phone with us. He's actually brought some info to the table.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So let's talk about it. You had said that I did say that I don't remember hearing any predictions.
Yeah,
of about this 911 thing. And Phobos just reminded us.
Yes.
Would you remind us,
Phobos? The floor is yours.
Yes. Well, this was actually hardware, not people. There's been an experiment that's been going for several years now in more than one location. It's the World's Global Consciousness Experiment. Now, this is actual hardware, which is said to be affected by people's mental states. When large groups of people are concentrating, thinking about a certain thing, for example, sporting events, things like this, then it's been said that it's affected the global consciousness equipment. This is hardware which generates random numbers, and then little flags go up when enormous amounts of activity in certain various ways come up. Basically, when it's saying that the numbers are not looking very random, it will start waving its flag saying, you know, you've got 80% above normal randomness today, or whatever the numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
But they went wild 15 minutes before the planes hit the Twin Towers. And that is complete hardware only. It's very scientific equipment. It's not really involving people directly, although it's theorized that people indirectly are affecting the equipment. It's picking up on the consciousness of the groups of people. Now, this would be indicating that perhaps it's a form of prediction about lots of people actually sensing something strange is about to happen, and maybe the equipment's picking something up there. That's the prediction that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting. Is that the one that's going on at like MIT or wherever and several other places? Do you know...
Princeton, actually. I think that's more likely where it was, because I know Princeton are connected with a lot of paranormal-type studies like retropsychokinesis and things like that, so I would imagine they were involved in some way.
So, okay, do you know, like, when... In order to seed this random number generator, are they really... They're normally like picking up what, on some kind of magnetic radiation or some kind of nuclear half-life, monitoring that kind of thing? Because I know there's several different ways to get random numbers out of thin air. Are they doing...
I don't think they'd use a numerical algorithm, because that would be... That wouldn't really be open to external influence. So it would be more likely it would be just like a detector detecting radiation from a particle or something like that.
Right, yeah.
I know that the devices are fairly small, but I think they've done a proper job because it's done through a university, so it's not a cheap and nasty little number generator. It's a bit more sophisticated than that.
Right, yeah, because there's different ways. I mean, if you just set a computer algorithm, eventually they repeat. Unless you reseed it, and you're supposed to seed these generators. So this isn't really a generator, it's more of a detector, detecting...
More or less, I would say, a psychic antenna, so to say, that would pick up... Well, I mean, what does this thing... Okay.
Well, what they're actually measuring usually is they're going to measure some kind of radiation that comes off of cesium or something like that.
Okay.
And, you know, some element.
Okay.
And they measure the background radiation of this atom, or
okay,
this clump of atoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's how usually they would make a true random number generator.
Okay.
Because see, if you use like a radio antenna,
mm-hmm,
unfortunately sometimes you can, you know, you can...
Well, I wasn't talking about a literal antenna. I was just saying this is something that's picking up
right
energy.
Right. And somehow something what Phobos is saying, I believe, is that something affected that, you know, stream of random numbers that they are that they're pulling out of their measuring instrument
the tools.
Something affected it 15 minutes before 9/11.
And that was
the
before the
crash.
First plane hit. Am I correct, Phobos?
That's correct, yes.
It's, so,
in fact, actually, I think there was a secondary spike a couple hours before it as well, or something like this. But it was the main, most important thing is these things don't significantly differ from the normal that often. There was nothing that happened the day before that. There's like certain spikes that happen maybe three or four times a year per site.
Okay.
And there was a significant spike on that particular day, 15 minutes before the Twin Towers were hit.
I wonder,
and so that was before everybody was watching it live on
watching
Fox
the end of the world on
CNN and stuff. Yeah. So did we subconsciously pick up the fact that something
did a certain group of us pick it up?
Or a powerful group?
Because I know for a fact I felt nothing.
Well, consciously.
Consciously, yeah.
Right.
Well, maybe.
There is a problem there, though, of course, because it could be that what triggered it off, let's just keep it on the paranormal plane, but let's say it's a little bit more conventional in that maybe it was the hijackers that triggered it off, in that the people that were in the know.
Well, yeah. That's where I was thinking. That's
might not be
the
prediction.
Well, there were
the people in the planes. Maybe they'd be a little upset too.
Yeah, I imagine they were going through a lot of, you know, because like we've talked about ghosts before for some reason on the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of ghosts seem to inhabit places of angst and emotion and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps there was enough. In this case, it would have been negative emotion
between all four planes.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna die
between all four planes.
Yeah.
Maybe they were the ones who triggered that off, too.
And actually affected the environment.
That would be the only thing I could think of, honestly, to explain something like that on, you know, as far as debunking any theories of someone seeing into the future, so to say, or having a premonition of something 15 minutes before something such as catastrophic as 9/11. But that's still very interesting.
I could turn... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I could turn it completely around here, because I see it more likely... this is somewhat strange thinking, but I see it more likely as the thoughts of the people after the incident actually thinking back to that time actually causing the equipment to behave strangely. Now, that's a weird way of looking at it, but if thoughts are transferred using something like the that we've been talking about, which might not be time... many times
Phobos.
After could send it back.
Right,
you're breaking up a little bit on your end, man.
Yeah, you're.
All right.
It's coming through because you need to compress that stream a bit more.
But, I can't think what else might be using the internet bandwidth.
Oh, let me think. Ghostly talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, the what happens is so what you're saying is that it could have been people after the fact projecting their thoughts and emotions back in time, which is actually possible if you subscribe to the interdimensional theories and the time means absolutely nothing kind of theory.
Well, I know to this day still, I mean, we talk about it more than once a week. I know that for a fact. I mean, that's how catastrophic that event was in history that we lived through. Because I know there isn't, well, God, we've already had like 50 references on this show tonight, so this week's already counted out. But every week that goes by, a conversation gets brought up about 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
One
even
aspect
here.
Of it or another.
Yeah.
And you go back. No matter what, you go back in your mind, even if you're not talking about the day itself or where you were at or what was going on.
So we may
go back to that.
Right. Just by this phone call, we may be contributing to that past event right now. Phobos?
Yeah, that's the way I see it. And also, by the way, when you mentioned about Norton's antivirus and all that, well, sorry, not, I didn't mean to mention a brand name, but just the antivirus.
Okay, they're going to be giving us money, hopefully, so maybe we got a new sponsor here.
Plug. Yeah.
But anyway, the antivirus companies, I mean, even in the extreme, if you imagine that maybe they did release a virus, just imagine how much money they could get sued for. If it was traced to them.
Right.
Well, it's a huge liability.
That's the thing. So I really highly doubt, and there's a lot of smart computer people who don't work for antivirus companies. So I, very capable, able to trace these things. I really don't think that they're the ones doing it.
I do have Let's keep going. Go.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought out loud. That was stupid. Anyways.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So I don't think that they that you know conspiracy wise, I don't think that they're in on anything like that. I really do think that it's kids.
Oh
you know,
yeah.
Making
I
these viruses and.
I wholeheartedly would believe that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very malicious people out there.
And it's, you know, I think it's increasing. I noticed that, like, for example, the they're talking about, you know, the end times and things like that, and Art Bell has that book and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and what's it called? The coming global superstorm or something mm-hmm. like that. And so I and of course, Aaron Donahue says, you know, that this is all and it very well could be. That's why I'm struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
That these could be you know, pre-extinction things, you know,
pre-extinction behavior.
Pre-extinction behavior is all of a sudden the world really is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
So to speak. I mean, there's the freak snowstorm on the East Coast. Did you guys hear about that in England, Phobos, the snowstorm on the East Coast of the United States?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I've been a bit surprised because I always tend to think of, like, the States as, apart from the old, extreme weather, I always tend to think of it as being warmer climate than here. But, of course, it's such a big place. You do have your variety.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any snow here for a few years now.
No, you just get rain.
Mostly.
Yeah, you guys just get rain,
you guys
right?
just get rained on all the time, don't you?
Well, the odd drop.
The odd drop. Well, actually, the thing is, I remember when I was a kid, and this is years and years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as Will would say, that was, you know, an eon ago.
Because mm-hmm. you're old.
Because I'm old.
Yeah.
And what happens is, I remember when I was a kid, it would snow in December. It would snow in December.
Yeah, religiously.
And it would,
even when I was a kid, which is not too long ago.
And we were looking forward to it, and,
yeah.
you know, because we were in school, and it would snow in December here in Michigan, and mm-hmm. it was pretty, and we knew that,
yay.
You know, we would get out of school soon,
yeah.
and hooray, you know. And, well, what happens is that sort of went away.
It don't happen now.
And it just didn't, it hasn't
no.
happened for no. years and years now. Except for maybe a freak storm here or there, and then it would clear
yeah,
up. And
shut the whole city down for a couple days.
Yeah, and we'd have a green Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
Which is really, well, brownish, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because...
grayish.
Grayish, brownish.
Any boring color on the color chart you can think of.
Yeah,
it's
but we wouldn't have a white Christmas.
No.
And all of a sudden, this year, it dumped up to 2 feet of snow on the east coast of not here in Detroit. We missed it. It missed us
completely.
It just like went. It slid right underneath us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, southern wise. You mm-hmm. know, geographically. But it so it missed us. For thank heavens for me because you know I need to get new tires for my car. but it dumped just tons and tons and tons of snow on the east coast of North America or mm-hmm. of the United States. And I just don't understand it because. That's so. It really is a freak storm.
Yeah, it's a warm. Now you're talking about warm climate, Phobos. That's warm climate, and those people have no clue what to do now.
Oh, you're talking about down and it was snowing in, or it was getting cold in like Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
Arizona,
mm-hmm.
which is you know usually what 70s, 80s, 90s. And,
hundreds that's a cold day for them.
Yeah, if it gets into the 60s and 70s, they put jackets on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty...
We're out there in our bikini shorts
yeah.
going, God, this is
like,
beautiful weather we're having
woo!
Here, huh?
GT thong and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just the weather patterns are definitely changing. Of course, all that stuff is happening in Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
you know, where those, you know, Old Faithful isn't so faithful anymore, or it's getting more faithful or something, I don't know. But it's all just happening.
Aaron Donahue has a whole data set on his website concerning that, too.
Yeah.
If you're interested in the Yellowstone...
Well, he says it's not going to blow, which is
yeah.
good news.
But it's interesting.
But
to
it is going
his
to...
Read is that his data on the site, too.
It's going to be, you know, not normal and stay away from the area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But...
Weird. It's all this stuff. Is
the
this
weather,
all
the weather,
is this prophecy noticing this kind of stuff, or
because the weather has changed. The weather has changed from when we were younger. I know for a fact here.
If I remember the satellite pictures, aren't most of these chemtrails around the same sort of areas where you're getting all this snow? If there is, then you know you have to start wondering a little bit, don't you?
Well, actually, it's interesting that you brought that up. I wanted to mention that on the last show. last week's show, and I didn't get around to it. I think I mentioned I was going to mention it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, because we ended up having that fascinating conversation with Jane at the end of the show, and we totally missed talking about chemtrails.
Uh-huh.
I have noticed a huge increase in chemtrails here in Southeast Michigan. Just a humongous increase in the number of chemtrails here in Southeast Michigan. So anybody from any paranormal, like, or not paranormal, but conspiracy kind of chemtrail website listening, mark it down in your book.
And start throwing rocks in the sky.
Southeast Michigan is under heavy, heavy chemtrail laying plans right now. It's just happening.
We had that one that was like right by the moon you didn't see at night.
It was huge. It was humongous, and it was a direct, like, it was very wide,
yeah,
because by the time we saw it, it had dispersed out into a wide straight line.
Mm-hmm.
But it was excruciatingly noticeable because, you know, clouds don't normally form a straight line unless it's like a storm front.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a storm front. This was a chemtrail, you know, and it was spreading. And there was one absolutely gorgeous night. I walk out of work at 8 o'clock, because that's what time I get off,
mm-hmm,
walk out of work, and the sun was just under the horizon. Everything in the sky was beautiful, beautiful, like red. It was like a deep red with little pink,
mm-hmm,
streaks. I mean, it was just absolutely gorgeous,
yeah,
except for one thing. Well, the sky was full of chemtrails, so they were glowing with the, you know, the light reflecting off of them from the sun on the other side of the horizon. So it was absolutely ridiculous. I
that's scary.
I pointed it out to my coworkers. I'm like, is this normal? And they're like, no, this is not normal.
No.
You know, I mean, because they did the same thing I did, you know, red sky at night, sailor's delight. That's, you know, supposed to be good day, good weather the next day.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was good weather the next day. This was last week, okay? But the beautiful red sky was tainted by these immensely glowing chemtrails. And they were glowing with this redness. They weren't just, you know, oh, here's a little bit of light refraction for you. These things were glowing. I mean,
it was... Don't do that, though. The light, it's as the sun's going down, it's over the horizon. So you've got planet Earth in your way, basically. But since the chemtrails are high altitude, they're going to be acting to some extent like a mirror and reflecting some light down, especially if it's predominantly ice crystals or something reflective like that. So they would be giving the appearance of glowing. So even if it was a normal contrail, to some extent you would expect it to reflect a bit more light as the sun gets lower in the sky.
Yes, and it was absolutely beautiful, except for these were chemtrails we were looking at.
Ugh.
They were so obviously chemtrails and not contrails.
Mm.
The difference, of course, being that contrails are that, you know, disgusting vapor or whatever coming from an airplane normally, you know, the normal operations of an airplane engine, and chemtrails being something intentionally laid down in the sky to, you know, to seep into the atmosphere.
Yeah, take its place in the atmosphere.
Yeah, so...
Aluminium.
Yes.
There's also... barium nitrates and things like that. But mostly barium, I think, was the main thing that's reported. But the odd thing that's reported in there as well is even blood extracts or some weird stuff like that. But the main compounds are aluminium and barium.
Right.
I don't want to breathe any of it.
Well, that's barium is what you drink in order to make you glow in one of them, not X-rays, CAT scans or whatever.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well...
I can do that. That'd be fun.
I'm going to glow at an X-ray or whatever.
Here, look at Baron.
But, so, yeah, it's pretty freaky stuff. So,
no.
I know that chemtrails are on the rise, big time.
Well, you know, you guys are really scaring the hell out of me.
Please
stop this right now.
No.
I have plans for the future.
Sorry.
Well, just look at it this way. At least you find your way home at night easier, won't you?
Well, yeah.
Oh yeah, because you know you'll develop one of them super senses, like.
Well, God forbid I have to sit here in the haunted basement studios longer than like 3 hours a night. You know, that would drive me completely insane.
It does drive me completely insane. So.
Yeah, I love you too.
No, not you.
Uh huh. But yeah, I see how it is. Phobos, we have to go to break here, Phobos, okay?
We're going to break, Phobos.
You want to stay on the line with us?
We failed to let someone else call in.
Okay.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you soon,
then. Sounds cool. We'll talk to you online. So everybody, Phobos is online if you go to the chat room.
Yeah, Pioneer Radio. Wonderful, wonderful person.
Yep. So
good friend of ours.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Radio, hosted by certified paranormal investigators Rob and Bob, Sunday nights at midnight, only on Pirate Radio. For show information, visit us at wparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Tamara Thorne, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott L. and Doug.
MrOlaf.com. See what you've been missing out on. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Services such as web and pop 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Free streaming and downloadable videos. MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
This is Fat Jesus, lead singer of the band Zero Recourse, and when I've arisen on a Sunday, I will check out the world through the eyes and ears of my boys in Ghost Talk.
All right, we're back.
This is, yeah, you said
Vortex. Oh, God!
Everybody right. Take a drink. Oh, I've wait, lost, no, that's W Paranormal.
I've lost all my talking privileges for the rest of the show. I promised myself I would never say that again. We talked about that.
Well, you know, I was actually listening to, last week's episode of Ghostly Talk.
Wait, say it again?
Go figure. I was listening to it, and I say, you know... A lot.
You know?
I rarely say nowadays. I've gotten really good at that. So, I mean, I do say it sometimes, but it's gotten a lot less than in the first 13 shows.
Yeah.
But there are some things that I have to work on.
Oh, we both have. This.
I also repeat the same words. Repeat the same words a lot.
What do you mean? Is there an echo in here?
So anyway, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
This is Ghostly Talk, and we're live on Pioneer Radio.
Yeah, it's like Night of the Celebrities here.
This is awesome. Yeah, it's pioneer.rollo.net.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how you can hop into the chat room and chat with all of us fun and friendly people.
God, who do we have?
But it is Night of the Celebrities.
Who do we have on the phone?
We had Phobos from the UK.
Yeah.
He runs Pioneer Radio. He does a lot of work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. And now we are absolutely ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ecstatic because I've emailed back and forth with this lady for like probably 3 or 4 nights.
50-something years now, right?
50-some years.
Yeah,
no,
God.
No, it was like one night we were listening to Coast to Coast at the same time. So we were emailing back
and
forth.
Yeah, I saw that little conversation because it wasn't sent just to you. It was sent to our whole domain.
Oh, I used Ghostly Talk at
Ghostly Talk. Yeah, so we all received them. So the next morning I come into work bright and early at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like...
2 dozen. Yeah.
And they weren't just... No, they weren't just like, you know, hey, what's up, dude? No, good, man. It's cool. No, it was like a book per email. And I'm like, well, I got some good reading for the rest of the day.
Well, that's because I type very fast. And evidently our who we have on the phone does, too.
Absolutely.
We are extremely, extremely fortunate. Chrissy from Paranormal News.com is on the phone. Hi, Chrissy.
Hello, everyone. You guys are off the wall. You know that?
Well, is that okay?
That's,
good. Thank you. Thank you.
That's one of the nicest things I've heard said about Ghostly Talk.
Well, if I was on the wall, I couldn't do anything. I'd really be off the wall.
That's why we are off the wall.
We're off the wall all the time.
Exactly.
We're crazy, I tell you. We're crazy.
I have to put this pizza crust down now. All right. Here's what we've got going on. Chrissy, they just had this big thing at ParanormalNews.com. Now, I am a humongous fan. Well, I'm humongous, but I'm also a fan.
He's
Paranormal.
Huge. He is huge.
I am huge.
Gigantic.
But I also have I'm a huge fan of ParanormalNews.com. I'm there all the time.
Same here.
God. And I participate here and there. It's sort of spotty because of time constraints mostly. But I have participated in the debate.
I just like to read.
I've read
through.
I like
to read everything on there.
I've also, but it's the news, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like right in the title, news. That's Paranormal News.
ParanormalNews.com is the site to go to. If you want to read the latest and greatest and newest things going on in the paranormal community.
Okay,
that's the bottom line.
That sounds like we could just cut that out and make a...
Okay, we'll make a commercial with it. I'll cut it out. No, that's the bottom line, though. That is the website.
Well, it's so true because, like we were talking to Chrissy about, Heidi Hollis has articles that go up on paranormal.
Yeah.
From her alienadvice.com.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, we had Heidi Hollis on the show, completely independent of that.
Yeah.
That's actually how we found her.
Oh, well, actually, yeah, that is how Will found her, because he had read this article.
Squeaked her email and just got a hold of her.
Yeah, and then...
You don't know me, but I'm the host of a small internet talk show. How you doing?
Growing.
I'm 5'7", weigh 450 pounds, I have this all over my face, and I love to read comics. What do you think?
I'm sure she's glad she's not psychic. So now, so what happens is we found them, and we're going to have another guest that I happen to read some stuff on ParanormalNews.com.
Yeah.
Absolutely enthralled me. I contacted him. He's going to
be
on the show.
No names.
I can't tell you who he
is. We know it, but you're not going to know.
Yes, you're not going to find out. But it's because of our passion for ParanormalNews.com. So ParanormalNews.com recently went through some kind of huge, I don't know, thing.
It went through a thing,
and I was so excited, and when I was emailing back and forth with you, I was so excited about it. And tell us about what Paranormal News just went through, why it's good for you guys and good for us as readers.
Well, what happened was that some of the members, namely myself, at ParanormalNews.com, decided to write the editors of ParanormalNews.com to voice some of our opinions about what we would like to see on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that we got these replies saying, well, if you think you can do better, you're hired type of thing. And
excellent.
Explained to us that what was going on with
he called your bluff. He called your bluff. So now he put you to work.
He put me to work.
No.
Put me to work, put Clayton to work, and put Lisa Marie Storm to work.
Oh, my goodness.
Lisa Marie came in at last here because she came with rave reviews. And if you'll notice, on paranormalnews.com, you'll see some of her articles that she's posted up there, which are really good ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, let me explain a little bit about paranormal. Is that what's happened is that Jeff originated this 5 years ago. He ran it from his own pockets out of his own pocket for five whole years without any help whatsoever. And I was shocked at hearing about this.
Well, because it is a humongous and professional site.
It's a gigantic site.
And it's extremely well-linked, because I know, I was searching for something, and I had read the thing on ParanormalNews.com about it, and I was searching for this on Google, and of course, the only thing that came up was ParanormalNews.com.
Yeah.
I had to dig to, like, page 78 or something like that of the Google results to find, you know, the original source.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so it was kind of, it really is extremely well-linked, extremely well-known. And I've also talked with Jeff, but I never offered to help. I mean, I never said, oh, let me do that part.
Well, don't do that, because you will come on as part of our staff.
Otherwise, I'll be a staff member, yeah. So, whoo!
I was so shocked at hearing about this from Jeff that I just said, you're being crazy about this. Now, this is what we need to do. So, anyway, we went through this major change. We have now four people on the staff, and we are working around the clock to bring the greatest. We have over 15,000 members now, and we have over 600,000 to 1 million hits page per month.
My God.
That's amazing.
That's just crushing.
And it's obvious. I mean, the quality, I'm not exactly half of the 600,000 to 1 million, but I'm close to it because I am so there all the time.
Well, yeah. And the beauty of that site also, as a whole, it's just a media source, is that anybody can go to it. Obviously, it's on the internet. That's a given. But anybody who has just the smallest smidgen of interest and anything within the paranormal community can go there and find out about it, or find out about the latest story on it, or something that's going on with the field of remote viewing, for example, or something like that, just to throw it out there.
That's our goal. We want to be the one-stop paranormal news source online. We want to be able, because it takes a lot of time for people to search for things online, like as Doug was saying, you know, he was 98, at the end of his search. I mean,
yeah, because Paranormal News was it
it's
was
been,
all
it's been
over.
Around that long.
It's been around for a long time. It's well linked and it's got so much content,
right?
That it, you know, you cannot beat it.
Yeah,
and there was, I have to say, and Jeff is going to kill me,
uh-oh,
and so are you, Chrissy. There was this other site I would visit too.
This is Doug talking, by the way, too.
Yeah, I'm Doug, and so I'm going to get a phone call after this, for sure. There was a different site that I would visit as well that had some. Now they were more immediate news. It's not like Paranormal News where they would archive them and keep the articles. It wasn't very searchable, so it had a different set of features. It was a different flavor,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was Paranormal News as well, called Project X. Mm-hmm. Of course, what's happened to that site is the guy abandoned it pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he went on to do, and I don't blame him, to do an acting career or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he hooked it up now. All it does is show the Google
yeah.
News.
Uh-huh.
So I'm so glad the Paranormal News is not, you know, is thriving and growing.
Well, it's growing. That's the it's growing.
Yeah, because there were two. Now there's just the one. The one premier site is Paranormal News.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, a question I have concerning the site. Do you have, well, obviously, I'm a member of the site myself, but can anybody submit, I mean, now, I know if you open the floodgates up, you're going to get every person coming out of the woodwork wanting to put a story up there. I know people like Heidi Hollis, people we've had on the show, for example, Heidi Hollis.
And people we will have on the show,
yeah,
like
Aaron
Beep.
Donnie.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
gonna,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
They post stuff up on
your
site.
Well, we had Cassandra Frost
yeah.
on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And they've all posted stuff up on your site. You now pretty much I'm just trying to just get this out for people to understand and know if they have something interesting to contribute, how accessible is it for them to be able to get this up on the site?
All you have to do is send it to the editors at Paranormal News, and if we have your permission, it goes up. I mean, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, we welcome them. I mean, and even first-hand experiences like that, if it's well-written and if they don't mind a little editing in there along the line,
yeah,
it goes up. We want to know. We want the world to know. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get on with our members, what's going on out there, and we try to provide that.
And that's how easy it is, too.
I should write up the Nostradamus thing. I just keep thinking I should write that up and actually send it to
you. I have a bunch of journal entries I can throw up. I don't think you'd like me anymore. I'd be in big trouble.
I don't know. Have you happened to read Scott L's guides?
I'm sorry.
In on the Ghostly Talk site, we have a journal page with people can put their journal entries, and Scott L, he writes these guides, like the guide to ghost hunting.
Well, guide to like joining a ghost hunting group, for example.
Oh, guide to joining a ghost hunting group. And
they're a bit sarcastic.
A bit. They're awesome. They're also the most well-read thing on the Ghostly Talk site.
I'm gonna send them to you guys tonight and see. I mean, I just want you guys to read them and tell me what you think.
Oh, that would be great.
Like me very much afterwards, but you know, it's worth the experience at that. So
I think I might write up the Nostradamus one.
But the point is though, is it
unless
that,
somebody else gets to it first, because someone else is probably better.
Well, see, if you're broadcasting for the whole world, maybe somebody will.
Yeah, that's true. If somebody does get to it first, please go ahead and write up the Nostradamus thing. And
but that's how accessible it is, though. And this is, I mean, if you have an experience, if you have something going on, and maybe, I mean, that's the beauty of this site, too, is that there's people, there's 15,000 members on this site that might be able to give you some more insight into this if you post it up there or if it's posted up there.
Because people can comment on the article.
Exactly.
There's also a debate every week. And that's what I usually would participate in when I have time and it tweaks my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they've got the forums.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got tons of opportunities to go in and tell you what they think about your article.
I mean, a lot of the things, we get a lot of email like this, too, where somebody will email us and go, hey, man, listen, I got something going on in my house. I just can't explain. And they think we know something. Okay. And they send us these emails saying, hey, you know, what do you think this is? And a lot of times we broadcast. We go, hey, well, can we talk about this on the show? But they come to us with questions, and that's a good thing for people to do on the internet. Because I mean, we talked about this with Heidi Hollis actually, because on her Alien Advice column, people can write into her and go, look, I don't really want to go public with this and you know be lambasted by the rest of the country, but I do want to get some answers maybe, or just some ideas of what may be going on around me that I can't explain. This is another thing with the Paranormal News. It's a great feature is that if you can get that up on the site, people can comment on this. People can debate about this. And you can get maybe an idea of what may be happening around you. Like you said, Chrissy, with a first-time, like a first-hand experience, so to say. Somebody may not understand what's going on around them, and they want to get some more insight into this. And this is what makes it so great.
Or we even have those that come, they don't want to go public even in our forums or our debate rooms.
Yeah.
And what they do is they'll write the editors, and we work with these people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And help them in any way we can.
Which is awesome.
That's huge. That's huge. Because
yeah.
It does answer questions
like,
for people.
We reply personally to each and every one of them.
That's more than I do.
Yeah.
I try, but
like,
I get
hey, man,
so
very
much
cool
email.
Story. See you later. Bye.
Yeah, I have so many, so much email. Oh,
oh no.
I hurt with email.
Oh,
yeah.
I think we all do.
Now, like you know, Doug, that I type 98 words per minute.
Yes, you do.
You know, we should just like post that whole thing up on the website just to show you guys what... How crazy this conversation became with these
I don't
two.
Know. We
it was amazing. No, I loved it. I was like, wow, this is great. But it was like so much to read.
We'd have to get Chrissy's permission.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Without a question.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, it was like a script or something, wasn't it?
It was.
Like a book.
It was, but I mean, you guys were just into it. And it was like real time during Coast
to
Coast.
We were listening to Coast to Coast. And we were like hammering away at the keyboard, writing back and forth to each other. It was amazing.
Yes.
Great.
And then since then, of course, I ran out of time because we've had holidays, we've had just tons of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had like a nice real time email chat in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's okay.
That was awesome, though. It was really cool.
Paranormalnews.com. It's something that everybody should check out.
So when, how has it? I've noticed the improvements already. I mean, it flows smoothly. It works. You guys are all working extremely well together. So I've noticed that the team, the staff, is just really clicking.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it when you guys are doing this stuff? How does it work?
There's two women, two men,
mm-hmm.
and seem to be doing their thing to make the site better, and the two women seem to be doing their thing to make the site better, and it all works.
It really is working.
So what we also encourage is that we want our members or even passerby, visitors, to send us a comment saying what they would feel would be appropriate up on the site and what they would like to see.
Exactly.
Well, I got started. That's how I got into this mess.
Well, that's the main thing I see, though, and that's what I like. That's what I love about the site, though, too. Is that, I mean, well, obviously, you guys took it to the next level, but Jeff listened to what you guys had to say, too.
Yes.
He listened to what you guys had to say. I mean, maybe his. Well, if you don't like it, do it yourself. Well, okay, we'll do it ourselves then. Fine. I mean, great.
I think that works out well.
Well, plus his whole life was becoming this website. I mean, he didn't have very much of a life outside of it. Working so much, giving to this website to make it as great as it was. So he was welcoming the aid and the help from other people.
I mean, still, though, it takes a lot of guts to let something, you know, to give away the little bit of power or whatever to be able to do these things. It actually takes a lot out of you. You have to, like, really consider before giving up, because it's his baby. It's his.
Yeah.
It's like a living, breathing thing. It's like a pet it depended on him. It still depends on him, but it needs, you know, to be able to give up that little bit of it to someone else. It takes a lot out of someone. So I really have to applaud him for doing it, because he found the right people. Or the right people found him. That's all that's what I have to say about it.
And similarly, I know for a fact with Ghostly Talk, we've went through the same. We've had, I don't want to say growing pains.
Oh, we've had a lot of growing pains.
We've had to go through the same things that Jeff's had to go through with the paranormal news. I mean, there was a lot of times where there was just too much being put on one person of the team here, and we all had to get together and go, look, man, I think you're working too much. Why don't you delegate some of this power out to us and let us handle it for you, so you don't kill yourself in the process. There's no reason to do that. So we've had to spread out duties a lot around here the same way that you guys are doing now with paranormal news,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, so you can relate 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it makes things run. I mean, thankfully, we all work well together. We don't fight too much. Well, you know.
Well, there was those nasty phone calls and.
Well, there was the mud wrestling competition last weekend. We had to settle the difference about the website, but you know.
Yeah, but the sumo wrestling contest was a lot more fun when we had to dress up in sumo suits.
That
was actually more. We could have sold tickets.
Or just the all-out bar brawl that was happening about a month ago.
The bar brawl.
That was fun.
Yeah, my eyes much better.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. I had my ring on, but you know.
But we don't fight all that much.
No, we work really well together, so we were able to take these things, whatever duty or job it was, and go, look, man, all right, I have the resources to do this. You don't. Let me do it. Okay, cool. And
so
that's how we do it.
And that's how we've done it.
And that's
it.
The same exact thing you guys are doing over at the Paranormal News.
Yeah,
so,
and we come up with ideas, and then we bounce them off of each other, and then whoever wants to take the assignment can run with it. I like to go for the personal angle. I'm the one who replies to everybody and points them in the right direction when they write to me and say, well, you know, I've got a ghost in my house and I don't know how to deal with this.
Uh-huh.
You know, can you help me? And I feel really foolish because I don't want you thinking that I'm stupid or crazy or anything. You know, we get that.
Oh, we get the exact same thing. Exact same thing.
Yeah.
You guys are going to think I'm nuts. We do a show on this.
Yeah,
we're not
going to
think you're nuts. Believe me.
that's actually interesting. We've tried to get guests who are like, well, I don't really want to call in because then everyone will know. And you're like, okay, well, why did you write that article, or why did you email us if you didn't want to talk about it, because we're a talk show.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So yeah,
but I think it's just generally some people are just looking. They saw us and said, hey, these guys may know a little bit about this. Let me ask them. Some people just think like that. Like, I got to talk to somebody about this and get this out of my chest. Generally, but a lot of people don't want to go public with stuff like this because they don't want to be ridiculed. And I can understand that, too.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, don't write to us if you don't want us to bug you about it.
Oh, I've got some news for you, Chrissy.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Remember when we were talking, I said, well, I invited Jeff to go to Reynolds Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Reynolds Cemetery in Jackson, Michigan for the annual visit of Eunice White to her father's grave, Jacob Crouch.
Or the annual visit of the Jackson police to the people that are waiting for the ghost to throw you out.
Yeah, it turns out it's a good thing he didn't go. Because the police showed up and kicked us all out. So we ended up spending the night, pretty much almost all night, at the local Denny's. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, we didn't get thrown in the brink or ticketed or anything. They just said, hey, you guys, clear out. You're a hazard.
Mm-hmm.
We were a hazard in case an emergency vehicle had to go down the road.
Yeah.
Us on the side of the road were a hazard.
We distracted the ambulance driver, and he would have driven the ambulance right into the cemetery.
Right.
That's apparently what the problem would have been.
So we ended up getting kicked out. So we ended up not having a thing at the cemetery. We ended up talking and visiting and laughing and
holding babies.
Yes, holding babies.
Holding babies.
If you go to WParanormal.com, that's in their pictures.
By the way.
Yeah.
No, we'll get to that in a minute.
But, yeah, so it turns out it's a good thing he didn't go. And plus, we were all kind of cold. It was kind of chilly that night. So, but, yeah, he didn't show up. I'm going to keep inviting him, though, in case sometime he'll have some time to go on one of these
things. We're just trying to get a sit-down with the guy. I'm kind of like trying to see the Godfather.
Well, like I said, though, he's the busiest person.
Oh, I know. That's why he's like the Godfather, yeah. Man. It's like you got to try to get a sit down with the guy. You know, we just want to see Don Jeff from.
Very busy. He has a full time job, and sometimes it works overtime. He has a new family.
Oh,
so yeah. Taking a lot of his time at this time.
Yeah.
And being around the holidays, especially, he's trying to put more time towards them.
Well, that's the right thing to do, and we all know how it is around the holidays, too.
Oh, yeah, and he needs to. I mean, he needs to take that time and make the, you know, and let you guys do your thing as well. So
and that's
I think
we're doing. And
I think
in
it's
fact,
awesome.
I was just on Instant Messenger with Jeff earlier. He had to go because he was too busy. No. he was just saying that he's really pleased with the site, and he's being the papa standing over in a corner and just watching over things right now. So we're basically taking care of things for him. And, you know, it's a good thing. He needs this breather. I mean, 5 years solid of this. I mean, I know myself, even working on it myself, I spend lots of hours.
Oh, yeah.
Going through and reviewing and, you know, writing to people through emails and assuring them that they're not going to be, you know, possessed or anything, and as they come along here, I mean, I'm going to point you in the right direction, things like that. And Jeff is sitting back, and he's going, yeah.
And I don't blame him. He deserves
that. He deserves all of that.
He deserves the time.
Well, what's the alternative if he didn't do what he did?
Well, he would have burned out.
Yeah, and then the site would have been gone.
It would have been a similar thing to that Project X or whatever.
And we don't want that.
Project
we don't want
whatever
that.
Whatever that was. I don't even remember now because it's not even in my bookmarks anymore.
No,
that other one.
Can't use it.
So, yeah, it's just Google. You may as well go to news.google.com.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he would have burned out, and that would have been horrible for everybody.
But my hat comes off to Jeff regardless because he's done a lot of work. My hat comes off to all you guys, too, who are working hard behind Jeff now. Keeping
thank
the site
you.
Running.
I will pass that on.
Definitely. And, yeah, we really want to meet with Jeff after the new year, too. We're going to have to get a hold of him on this and just get a sit-down
well,
and
I'm gonna,
or something.
Well, whether he wants to or not, or whether he wants to get
we're just
going
to go to his front door. We've talked about stalking Jeff already.
Stalking him, yeah.
We're
like
going to sit
in
front and go, hey, you know what? Hey, we're from Ghostly Talk. Hey,
he'd
hey,
be like
hey, how you doing?
Calling the cops in a second. Oh, my gosh, they're back. No, I'm going to invite him to the Ghostly Talk anniversary party.
2 years coming up.
2 years coming up February, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So,
a little over 2 years, but we're just counting 2 years in March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'll let you have that one.
Thanks.
Well, we started at the end of February a couple years ago, and so it'll be 2 years end of February, but we can't have it until March.
Yeah, unfortunately
so,
not.
Yeah. So we have a belated anniversary party.
Well, that's the only time the stripper company will let us have people. So.
Right. So that's why we have it done. Discount that week.
Yeah, March discounts because apparently it's slow around March. I don't know what the deal is with that. But, yes, the Paranormal News, wonderful site. Thank you. You guys are great there. We appreciate all the work you're doing because it keeps us all informed. It keeps us all informed. And I know we're not the only few people to go to that site, obviously.
And I've been threatening about writing an article about the upcoming... And I never do these things. I just threaten to do them. Like the Nostradamus thing, I probably won't do it. Someone else will do it.
Yeah.
But the but I've been threatening on writing an article about the upcoming Borderlands Network. Because I know they Jose Escamilla,
mm-hmm.
he really wants to get the word out about Borderlands.
Yeah.
It's the new cable channel. It'll be a new cable channel.
Yeah.
Or satellite channel kind of thing. So he's really working on that, and he's issued press releases and stuff like that. But and some people have picked it up. It was on rents.com mm-hmm. and things like that. But it's not. I didn't even know about it until I ran across the press release.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very well buried, I guess, in the bowels of the internet. So I was thinking if someone would write an article about that and put it on paranormalnews.com, everyone would know immediately.
Or I would just put Will on it, and he'll find it for sure. Because yeah. Will can surf the internet better than anybody I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, tell us everything you know about Borderlands Network that's coming up.
We need you to find Borderlands. We need you to dig in there and find it on the internet.
Jose Escamilla, by the way, is the guy with Roswell Rods.
Right, I know.
I'll have a full report by next week.
Okay.
You'll have a full report?
Thank you, Will.
Excellent.
Thank you, Will.
There we go.
Excellent.
We might actually get something up on ParanormalNews.com then.
Wow.
That would be cool.
It's to-do list right now.
What?
What's that?
On my to-do list.
Cool.
Well, Paranormal News has given Ghostly Talk a lot of support too in the past, and we appreciate that. We've had our name. Well, God, the few times we have had our name up there, geez, old Pete, we've taken a beating.
Oh, yeah. Stop now. You're still our sister.
We've taken a beating.
There's so many people on that, and they find us through Paranormal News.
Yeah.
They find us through that and Google, I guess.
Yeah, Google, apparently. Or something awful now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
from our advertising
awful.
Campaign. But wonderful site, though. Everybody out there should go to it. Go to the ParanormalNews.com. If you've not been there yet, get out from under your rock, please. If you're on the internet, I know it's not hard to be under a rock because you're at home all the time. You don't come out of the house like I do. But you need to go to ParanormalNews. Yeah, you need to go there and check it out. Check the site out.
I can't imagine any of our listeners not already having an account.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it at all.
Yeah.
They
so I think you're actually talking probably to a bunch of Paranormal News
fanboys and fanboys and fangirls.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Hello, people out there.
Do you guys do have merchandise on that site too, don't you?
Well, we certainly do.
Yeah. Okay.
We have our paraphernalia.
Yeah. You have that program also, the link program. We actually took part in that too on our site too. So we have a link up on our site for you guys.
Yeah, we put a banner kind of.
The banner,
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check that stuff out too.
But I can't pronounce. How do you pronounce that? Paraphernalia or something?
Paraphernalia shop. It's our paraphernalia shop.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Fernalia or Fernalia?
I don't know. It has an R in it, doesn't it?
I have a thick tongue. I lisp, so I can't say it.
But I every time I see the word, I can't pronounce it, but I know I can click on it. So.
I like calling it the paranormal shop. So in any of my correspondences, I always say paranormal shop.
Mm.
You get the general idea of what it's all about.
Excellent.
We have some books. We have magazines. We have videos, CDs. We have clothing. We have these really neat figurines. We have jewelry. Boards and kits and all kinds of good little stuff in here. We even have swords, which I thought was really neat. So,
well, what ghost hunter could not use a sword?
But there's all kinds of ghost hunting books.
Absolutely.
And remote viewing, I mean, there's tons of, because I know a lot of our listeners are, you know, avid remote viewing fans.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of remote viewing stuff in there.
Yeah.
So definitely,
check it all out. It's a great site. I think, check it out. Did we mention we love your site, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Did we mention we love your site, by the way?
We could read.
I don't know if we mentioned that or not.
Ghostly Talk, fans of ParanormalNews.com. No, I'm serious.
It's like the number one link on my list. I mean, I have my daily routine that I do. I mean, if you're a real net geek, like, you know, anybody sitting in the Haunted Basement Studios right now, you have your daily routine of things you just check up on and see what's going on.
And
Paranormal News is the first one I hit. It's the first one I hit for the days. It's like, okay, what news we got going on today? What do I have to read today?
That's what I do too.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. And I'm sure most people do the same exact thing that we do.
I'm almost positive that that's what we do.
See, yeah. So you're preaching to the choir. We already do this. It's
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
But we want to do what one of our goals is that we want it to read like a newspaper, like you wake up, the headlines are for today being. You know, we want to focus on our energies and making it the number one news source.
Well, that's the perfect analogy right there. That's the same exact thing. Because that's what we're all going to. I bought a Sunday paper about 2 years ago, going into work one day. And that's the last time I bought a paper, like a newspaper.
Yeah.
I read my news online now, and it's like...
I do too.
But unfortunately, the newspaper isn't going to have the stuff that the paranormal news has.
Right.
Very rarely will you see anything of interest to what we're talking about on this show or the paranormal news in a regular newspaper.
Well, we cover everything. We cover cryptozoology, you know, with Bigfoot and
Earth mysteries,
Loch Ness monsters and whatnot. We have conspiracies and conspiracy theories on our side. We have ghosts. We have Mars anomalies. I mean, anything that you...
Yeah. Your Earth mysteries is my favorite subject on your site, because there's so many great stories I've seen, and I've learned so much from that site just on these articles that have been posted up there on that.
See, and my favorite part, if we're going to, like, admit to this,
yeah,
my favorite part, of course, is cryptozoology, and it's got to be the... it's not necessarily conspiracy, although conspiracy works its way in there, but the you know, they have a whole series of things about like Tesla and Montauk.
It's a conspiracy journal.
Is that the conspiracy journal?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
conspiracy journal. Then that's what I like.
No, I love
those
that.
Are the things I like, exactly. And they're on there all the time. And I'm like, they're reading, printing, everything. It's amazing.
Guys are pretty amazing too. So, I mean, you might be the voice out there, but we're the written word.
Yes, okay? Yes, you are.
Exactly.
The one that we go to, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So, to keep up on things.
We do that. That's what keeps this show. I mean, part of what our show runs on is the news out there, obviously. So that's what we need.
Do you know who hits you? Like, does Art Bell and George Norrie and Jeff Rentz, and do they hit your site as well like that?
They do. In fact, my very first introduction into paranormal news was off of the Coast to Coast website.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's how I found paranormal news.
Oh, wow.
It's right from the website, and the next thing I knew, I never left.
You're just always out there, just like me.
Yeah.
I was addicted instantly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Instantly.
We're trying to get our link on Coast to Coast, but for some reason they won't put us up there.
Yeah, we're not like Coast to Coast. We're not liked by Coast to Coast, I guess. I don't know what it is, but...
We must have put a... maybe it's because we make fun of Nori every once in a while. Well, that's crazy. maybe that's the reason. I don't know.
That might have something to do with it, yeah.
Sorry, George.
George, we don't really mean it.
No, we love you. We listen to you every night.
So we have correspondences to their website, but they are not very willing to correspond in our direction.
Mm.
We don't know this. We don't know why.
Right. Well, this we've noticed as well. So, yeah.
Well, in the last couple years, I mean, along with Ghostly Talk, I mean, as far as this paranormal media, like talk shows, for example... There has been a small explosion going on, and there's a lot of shows coming out of the woodwork now. A lot of people are getting their hands on the technology, which we know for a fact it doesn't take much to start up a show like this. We started the show on less than $50, to be honest with you.
No, I think it was $80.
We started the show up on less than $90, for example.
Yeah,
and
it was $80.
Okay.
I have the receipts.
Oh. Okay, then.
No,
aren't you Mr. Organized this week? But there's a lot of shows coming out that are doing this thing. And I mean, no knock to Nori at all, really, because I listen to this show every chance I get. When I don't have to be up for work in the morning, I'm listening to Coast to Coast. I'll be honest about
right.
that.
Right, and when you're in front of your computer, you listen to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis,
yeah.
of course. And then when you go to bed, there's you know, no computer there. So what you do is you knock on the radio.
There you go.
And you listen to Coast to Coast.
But I think there may be a bit of, I mean, all these shows are coming out, and the shows that are coming out, they're being run out of haunted basements everywhere.
Exactly.
And they're real shows. They're down to earth, and these are real people on the radio. There's no production. Well, there's production to a certain degree, but not on a grand scale like Coast to Coast.
Right.
And I think there may be a bit of an issue with that, which there shouldn't be. I don't think there should be. If I
was
George Norrie, I'd be like, wow, these guys are taking mine and Art Bell, who is the king,
Thank you.
They're taking our lead and going, hey, man, I want to do something
like
this,
too.
I want to
talk about this. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, face it, I don't have a voice for radio, but I do it anyway because I want to talk about paranormal stuff.
Yeah, we want to get the news out there to people.
We want to tell people things that are happening, things that we've done, things that they want to talk about, which is what paranormal news does in print.
Yeah.
We just do it in voices all.
Yeah.
And you have a wonderful voice, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It just went down like 2 octaves, too. Well, thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Those are our news voices. We like to hear that every once in a while.
I've got to ask you, did you really find the receipts?
I do have the receipts.
He has the receipts. I know
do.
He does. He's worse than I am.
I have the receipts, yes. I keep the receipts for everything. And I do. I have them, and it was like $78 and some odd change. It was just under $80.
And that's wonderful.
To start Ghostly Talk. Now, remember, that was a couple of years ago.
Right.
And we've grown a lot since then.
And there's been some more money spent.
Yeah, there's been more money spent, but money's been donated as well.
Yeah. That's what really helped this show out a lot was the donations we got from people. And it was really important for us to, like, on the site go, hey, thanks for the money. This is what we bought.
And we did. We
bought this big old board.
The big mixer.
We went up to the bar that one night and got loaded, remember?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, we went down to the stripper bar and just went completely nuts. It was great. Thanks, guys. We appreciate the money.
Actually, what happened was the donation total for Ghostly Talk was like $20 under the new board.
Yeah.
Right? So we had to pitch in $5 each and we got the board. Yeah, it worked out really well, though. But
so it's a small scale compared to other things that are going on, but you know what? It's huge for us.
That's great.
And yeah, and then we've had like some awesome guests. I mean, we had Aaron Donahue and Michelle Whitedove and
Tamara
Thorne. Oh my gosh.
Well, let's talk about Aaron Donahue for a minute.
Okay.
What about him freaks everyone out? Can you help me explain this to myself, please?
Yes, Luciferianism.
I mean, I thought the man, when I first heard him, he was just mind-stimulating. I mean, the thoughts that he has in his mind about how things are working in the world right now stopped me for a moment and made me ponder in that direction.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Us too.
You know, we were the target of people going, we were so enthralled with the first time we had Aaron on the show. We sat here, well, I know the first show we sat and talked for 2 hours, I think, after the show. And
yes,
we did another 2 hours after the second show we had.
We talked
with
him and Jennifer.
We talked with him more off the air than we did on the air, unfortunately. But you know what? No, actually, I think the second time we left the mics on.
Yeah,
we kept going. We recorded the whole thing. But we were so enthralled with what he was talking about that people thought, my God, these guys are Luciferians just like Aaron is. And
well,
we were having emails
about,
are you guys Luciferians too? And we're like, no, but the guy's making a lot of sense here just for what's going on in the world right now.
Exactly. That's what I took from it, was that man is describing things of what's really going on out there, or could be going on.
Yeah.
And it gave me a completely different view to look at.
Exactly.
And that's actually the beautiful part. That's the beautiful part is when you're exposed to something that you would not have thought of or you would not have actually considered, and you're exposed to it, and for a brief moment or even longer if you choose to contemplate it, your mind is expanded for just, oh, wow. And just that right there, that moment where, oh, wow, there's a new idea.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for on Ghost Talk.
I think we got into a rant about this last week, too, around the same grounds, going, listen, if you just give yourself a couple of seconds to open your head up and take it in, without any bias whatsoever, just take the information and observe it. And don't bring any of your beliefs into it for a couple of seconds.
Exactly.
You're going to learn. You're going to learn something.
You might learn something.
That's the big problem. I think that's the big problem people have with Aaron is because they're taking their whole lives with them into listening to this gentleman speak.
Right, including their religious view.
Mainly their religion. Because he's preaching Luciferianism. And
well, he's not preaching.
Well,
that's his religion. Well,
so to say.
The problem is he also says that Luciferianism is not necessarily a religion because Lucifer does not want to be
worshipped.
Worshipped.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's not really a religion. It's a way of thinking, is all. It's not even a belief system.
It's life.
Because
according to him, it's basically
to him,
our lives. It's our existence.
Right. It's how it works. It's how the world works. Is that Lucifer is is there? He was the progenitor. This kind of thing. And his name isn't even Lucifer. It's 72 tones that coincide with the goetic demons.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have here is we've got this unfortunate thing about words going on, and that stops people from thinking just
like that. When you mention the word Lucifer, that's the problem right there.
Instantly.
People automatically cut off and go, no, and that's the one that ties in with everything we've talked about so far in the last few minutes right there, is that fear is the main problem.
Yep.
Avoid, take your fear and throw it out the door. Do not be afraid of this thing. Learn from it. Observe from it. I'm sure Aaron told it. I don't expect everybody to believe what I'm saying here. They're going to think I'm nuts. I know that. But take your fears and throw them aside. Do not be afraid. Read the books. Read what's out in front of you. That's what we talked about last week.
Well,
exactly.
Another problem is that he doesn't really have a book. He's not selling a book. He's not selling a video series.
No, he's not.
He's not selling seminars. He's not selling anything.
No.
So other people, normal people have a bit of a problem with that.
Yeah,
I know I do. I'm like,
well, they don't have any ammunition then to shoot at him.
Well, it's not only ammunition, but also what's the, is it really that altruistic? Is it really that what it seems? Is it what it seems? Is it him coming up and saying, look, I'm a remote viewer. I've developed something that replaces remote viewing that's more powerful and accurate. And I am telling you that this is how the universe works with Lucifer as the progenitor and the earth is already pretty much doomed.
Yes.
Because of what we've been,
what we've done
to ourselves. So this is just the way it is. There you go. Take it or leave it. And a lot of people are choosing to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I ain't going to believe any of that stuff. I'd rather be a horse with blinders on.
Well, do you need him to sell something? Do you need a book to buy?
Do you need some type of monetary thing out there?
Do you need something? I guess it does make it easier.
It makes it easier because then you can say, oh, he's selling books. And he's not. That's the problem.
There's no pictures to look at, I guess. I'm sorry.
Right. So it's really difficult.
Aaron should put out a pop-up book.
That would be interesting. Why not?
Why not?
It's pretty easy to do, I guess.
Look at your newspaper. Look at your newspaper every day. What makes the newspaper, well, for most people, so easy to read? There's pictures everywhere.
There's pictures everywhere.
How many words are actually there next to advertising?
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
So there's a couple of different things that bother people about Aaron Donahue. The biggest being Lucifer. The second is that you just can't figure him out, and why?
Well, and the basis of what Aaron's talking about, too, is the complete opposite of everything most people have been raised on.
Right.
And that goes back into beliefs again.
That's what makes it so stimulating.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important for people to listen and actually set aside their fears
their
and their beliefs
their
and
fears.
Stuff for just one second to, if you can just even glimpse at what he's talking about, You've expanded your mind and you can actually work with it.
Well, we talked about that a little bit last week. I think we discussed Aaron a little bit again. And a few comments he made during our interview with him on both shows. One of them included him saying something Anton LaVey came up,
mm-hmm.
the Satanic Church. And Aaron, we laughed hysterically because Aaron goes, Anton LaVey, what a great guy. What a great guy. And even us here on Ghostly Talk, as the host of this show, we've been raised on things. We've had parents and we've had people around us that have, so to say, programmed us too. So it was very foreign for us to hear someone say something like that to us about a person such as Anton LaVey in that light. So we couldn't do anything else but react, go, oh my God, wow.
What's happening?
What is this
here?
Guy talking about?
But it works. I mean, because I didn't meet Anton LaVey.
No, neither have I.
And of course, the Church of Satan, Satanic Church, is not what tell you it is.
No. That's a lot of propaganda right there, unfortunately. Put into the media.
We're back to the beginning of the show. Propaganda.
It all comes back to propaganda.
Well, look, I look at it this way. My grandpappy taught me a long time ago that it's one thing to have an open mind, but it's another thing to have an opened mind. And a lot of your listeners, a lot of people out there in the paranormal community, they'll say they have an open mind, but are they really relegated from an area of being open-minded?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
A lot of people, like it took me to hear Troy, Mr. Donahue.
Mm-hmm. Aaron.
Aaron.
Yes.
I like to be polite.
Troy Donahue is a different person. Yeah.
An episode of hearing him, hearing his discussion, for me to click over to that open mind within myself. Because at first I thought, oh my gosh, this is just crazy.
Oh, yes.
And then I listened, and then my opened mind took over.
Exactly. And that's very, very true.
I was able to comprehend and understand what I wasn't able to having just an open mind. Do you understand?
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
I went through the same thing.
Yeah, we...
Well, you remember the very first time we talked about him was on that show, we talked about the data and the consciousnesses being trapped in a machine.
Yeah, I just came across that site just doing some web surfing at work, I believe, you know, wasting more time at work, and just came across this site, and the opening page was x over pi plus 666.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I gotta check this out. And
I had to work with that formula, but I can't get anywhere with it.
it's out there, but I read everything. His father, James Donahue, he has his own site, and he talks about his own things, too, along with his, you know, the things concerning his son also. But I was enthralled with this stuff, and like that was during the week. And that come that Sunday, I was like, Doug, we need to talk about
this
stuff
talk about
right now. And we bugged him ever since then, and... He was gracious enough to come on our show, which just blew us completely away.
Right. I never expected it.
No,
but it was,
not a million
it was
years.
Awesome, and boy, did I learn a lot.
Yeah, that was probably, I mean, as far as shows go, I know we all finished both those shows, I mean, all of us down here, we finished both those shows with Aaron, and we were all physically, you know, mentally exhausted is one thing. Usually we're always mentally exhausted by the end of any show we do here.
Hi.
But we were physically, it carried over into our physical bodies where we were like, man, I can't even drive home.
Right.
I can't even drive home.
It was...
From all the thinking, just the intense thinking going on down there, and everything being thrown at us, and Aaron's trying to, you know, he could probably sit for like a week and probably not finish everything he wants to say.
He's
trying to cram this all in 2 hours for people, and we're going, and we're trying to keep up with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Because we didn't know this at the outset.
Exactly.
Well, being a remote viewer that he is, don't you think that he's a little bit more insightful and more intuitive than most of us out here? And that's where he gets some of his knowledge that he has?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Exactly.
Oh, undoubtedly. He's also a psychic himself, but the psychic, evidently being a psychic, is not as accurate as being a remote viewer. Or not really a remote viewer, but, well, yeah, being a psychic is not as accurate as being a remote viewer. And then being a remote viewer is not as accurate as being a, what's the number?
Pan.
Being
Pan.
Working with Pan.
Practication of non-historical data.
Yes. So there's like these levels. But of course, the inspiration that can come from being a psychic can then be experimented with remote viewing and or Pan. So that's why, you know, that's why, oh, man, the time flew.
The time just flew.
My bad.
That's it. This is the end of the show.
Well, finish what you were saying.
Well, I was just saying that, so of course, he's very in tune with the things out there. And things can either come at him psychically, or he can run across things doing, internet searches, but he can also run across things doing, you know, just being psychic. He can run across things while remote viewing, and he can run across things while working with the numbers with Pan.
Exactly.
So he has more, you know, more channels of information coming in than I do, for example.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because I have ParanormalNews.com. That's what I have. And,
well, it's
fun having that, too.
And I will. Oh, well, yeah.
It's exciting, though. I mean, regardless of what, you know, what your beliefs are, to come in contact with a person like that and have these new ideas thrown at you, having this new viewpoint thrown at you. I mean, for me, it's exciting to the point where I go to my mom and dad's house and go, guess who I interviewed last week on the radio show? And I go through all this stuff, and my mom and dad look at me going, my God, what do we do wrong?
Yeah.
What do we do wrong with you, son? What do we do wrong? But, I mean, it's exciting because we're learning here. We opened our minds for a certain... I'm taking that with me. I'm taking that with me, Chrissy. I'm telling you right now because that your grandpappy was completely right on that.
Thank you much.
He was completely right on that. That's exactly what it's all about because we all like to think, well, hey, man, I'm open-minded, man. I'm, like, with it, man. I'm open-minded. But... not all the time do we have an open mind all the time. It's impossible, really, to think about. If you think about it, it's impossible to have an open mind all the time. If you had an open mind all the time, you'd get walked all over. You'd be the most naive person on the planet.
That's true.
Now, if you open, if you have an open mind at the right time,
yeah.
That's very, very true. It's very profound.
And it's exciting, and it really is interesting. And I just wonder if, because I spend a lot of time now since Aaron was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to explain Aaron to other people.
I just go ummo.cc. Just go look at that. I can't explain this to you.
Well, no, because a lot of people email and they're like, I don't know, I don't get it, all this stuff. And I try to explain it. And I'm like, there's so many more questions, so many more things that even I don't know because I'm not capable of knowing all the stuff that Aaron knows, and I can't express it the way he would express it.
Yeah.
The only thing I can do is express what I believe I have learned from him.
Yeah.
You know, in my own way.
Yes.
And I do my best. I do my best.
Yes.
But that's about it.
On that note, though, we do have to close the show out. Chrissy, thank you for coming on. Really.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was very cool having you on here because we just love paranormal news. It's like our number one site.
It sure is.
It's an inspiration to this show for sure. We know that.
Definitely.
But we will be talking to you soon. Call back
anytime.
We want
you to call anytime,
anytime. Call in.
I will.
Cool.
Great. We'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Thanks.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
That was awesome.
This show just kicked ass.
We talked about everything.
I'm very happy. I mean, we need to get people like this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are voices behind the writers on the Paranormal News.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very mysterious site based on that. It's been around for so long, and people, hey, you know that guy? And you know, now we can say, well, yeah, we do.
Well, of course
we do. Great guy, man. We were just at the bar last night. Hey, he's my boy, dude. We hang. It's cool. But, no, there's the team there now. It's great because it's making the sites moving. Now it's even more because, you know, back in the day, it was like, okay, paranormal news. I mean, you might hit it a couple times a day and nothing would happen. And then maybe nothing would happen for a couple of days. And then finally there'd be an update.
But and now, there's like all these
now it's like real time, man.
Right.
It's happening.
It's really awesome.
And that's what people like. You know, you're on the internet for so long, it's like, God, you get bored with just going and looking at something. You want change. You want something every day or maybe every couple times a day to change. And that's what paranormal news is.
And we have to make way because next up on Pioneer is the Headroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up next. We, of course, are Ghostly Talk. We follow Ghost Tracker Radio on Pioneer on Sundays.
Yeah.
So Sunday nights on Pioneer. Saturdays are Space Days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spaced Out Saturday or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So even Pioneer hops on Saturdays.
I'm trying to find
a
way to squeak my internet connection at work and get around the firewall so I can
listen.
I know,
wouldn't that rock?
I'm trying.
With that, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And happy, ghost hunting to everybody?
Well, Christmas is coming up. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We'll be having more on that probably later on.
Yeah.
Have a good week, guys. Bye-bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.